It's now 5:30. I want to welcome everybody to our city council meeting. It's a doubleheader tonight, so we have two back-to-back council meetings for the month of November, and we'll do this again in December as well. So thank you all for being here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all for being here, council staff, all of our guests. We welcome you. Thank you for being a part of our meeting tonight. First item on our agenda is our invocation. If you would, please bow your heads and let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to serve this wonderful city. God, we put you first on the agenda because you are first in all things. Nothing is above you. You hold everything in your hands. You see everything. You know everything. And God, we're grateful that you are always with us. Lord, in a world that seems like it's always changing and there's so much pain and conflict everywhere, God, we know that we can look to you because you are the same. You never change. You're faithful to who you say you are. So God, tonight, we just call on that faithfulness. We call on grace. As we go through the agenda, we ask, Father, that you would help us to have wisdom as we make decisions and as we contemplate the items on our agenda this evening. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the blessing of living in Woodway. Thank you, Lord, for all of our city staff and all of our council and all the volunteers that make our city run so well. God, tonight I also lift up all of our residents in our city who are hurting or who are going through sickness, and I ask, Father, for your love and for your grace to be with them tonight. I also pray for members of our public safety department who put their lives on the line every day for us, and I ask God that you would grant them safety, wisdom, and grace for their lives and for every day that they serve us. We thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful city, and we bless you, we thank you. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. This time, if you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Council, I want to introduce you to our sitting acting city manager here, Jennifer Rogers. Adam is on vacation this week, so Jennifer, welcome. So glad to have you up here with us. So Jennifer will be filling in for Adam tonight. Do we have the Midway FFA here?
We just got here. I'm so sorry. We had an event at school, and so it took us a little bit longer than anticipated to get here, but they are coming in right now.
Okay, no problem.
Well, I'm being late.
No problem at all. We're gonna move on, but
as soon as
they walk in, we'll get them up there.
Are there animals involved?
All right, council, while they're getting ready, I'm gonna move to public comment here. City council invites citizens to address the council on any matter, including items that are on the agenda, except any public hearings that are included on the agenda. The comments that are related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. We ask that you please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The timer will be on the screen up here behind council. The council is not permitted to take any action or to discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, we ask that you please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item tonight, we ask that you please state the item before beginning your comments. Thank you for your understanding and cooperation. And we open the podium at this time for anybody who'd like to address council. Yes, sir. If we get your name, please, sir.
Zach Beck on Falcon Drive. I just
I wanted to speak on the Estates Drive construction. If you want to say, I do recognize the flyer and I appreciate the communication that says it's a work in progress. I do recognize that. But I come because I think it's dangerous as is. And maybe as the changes are coming, you know, I just want to highlight some areas, give suggestions. But even in the meantime, could something be done temporarily as these full as the full plan is put into place? Specifically, there's two areas that I would like to address. Number one, if you're coming from Highway 84 this direction towards Arboretum on Estates, the right-hand side where it merges turns into a right-only lane at right-only turn at Midway Drive. I've been on some social media, posted myself a couple of different videos where my dash cam's captured, but almost gotten run into twice on video already, and other times, and that's just me personally, other times seen it happen to lots of others. So that merge needs more some kind of paint on the road, signs. My suggestion, you know, some curved dotted lines, some flex delineator or something, or even cones in the meantime to let people know way ahead of time, you can't keep going straight. You have to turn right because then that other lane comes over and you're just going to get sideswiped. So that, additionally, that area is where the crosswalk was. I don't know if it's going back there, but I want to make it as safe for the kids as possible. And then my second concern would be just the width from probably around that area, Glazedale, Oakdale on the right-hand side as well. It's very narrow, and I don't know all the ins and outs of what the law says, et cetera, but I've seen a lot of vehicles with a wheel or a little plus in that middle lane, that turn lane, because they don't want to run into a mailbox. They don't want to go up on the curb. They don't want to endanger themselves or the vehicles. But that creates a whole nother issue of safety. So, yeah, I guess I know it's a work in progress, but some of those things, especially that width, wouldn't be something that's coming soon. It would have to be something that would be changed later. So please, as you know, take into consideration these points, and maybe there's others, but help and make this transition as safe as possible for all our residents. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else, please? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Lori Witzel. I live here in Woodway. I'm not here to speak for or against the bike lane. I am just had a suggestion because I lived in a state in Vermont for 7 years, and they are pretty much queen and king of bike lanes. One thing that was very aesthetically pleasing to all the small towns and rural areas and the big cities that they had there in their bike lanes, they painted the bike path lime green, and it was very easy to follow. It was pretty. And when I was driving that the other day, it just jogged my memory that that's what they had, and it really made people see visually what was going on there. So that was just my suggestion.
Thank you. Anybody else, please? Yes, ma'am. If we could get your name, please, ma'am.
My name is, my name is Raina Kramen. And I've lived in Woodway for 50 years. I know you all have seen everything that's been written online on the next door and everything, so I'm not going to even go there. I was glad to see the update, but I was hoping to see more. I really am curious what has to be finished in order for you all to say this is completed. And I haven't seen that anywhere. Following what she said about the bikes, one of my concerns is it dead ends into the cross street. Where do the walkers and the bikers go from there? Hello? Also, coming the other direction, the mailman, does he have to turn right also? Do you have a plan with the USPS to reroute the whole postal system so the mailman who has to turn right there, what's he going to do? Does he have to merge where it says turn right? And if he does that, will others role model that and say, well, if he can do it, I can do it? I mean, something needs to be done about that poor mailman. He's opening up himself to accidents there. Actually, I had three things, but I got through it faster than I thought I would.
Good job.
Because y'all have read everything. You know the problems. I'm not going to go back through all that. But I thank you for your consideration, and I also thank all of you for your service.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
You know, being here 50 years, I especially have been so pleased with our police department and fire department.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else, please? Yes, sir. We get your name, please.
Richard Baker. I live on Harbor. 24 years in Woodway. I'll remove my hat out of respect. 8 years old. I wanted to speak about several subjects. One about the traffic on Estates Drive. And I'll show the public, you're all aware that if you drive on Estates, this was taken on the 14th, and there were tons of cars ready to get through to come to go through the bridge. Now, the second one is I asked about a year ago, why can't I have the same privilege to put up the picture so everyone could see it without holding up a tiny sheet of paper? I was told I can't. City Council has their agenda. They put it up. Builders come in. Builders have their agenda. They get up there. Why can't the citizens who pay for this item above me the same privilege that the city has? I thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else, please? All right. There being no further, we will move on. Thank you all for your comments. We're going to move on now to our presentations, and I'm going to ask the Midway FFA if you guys want to come in and get set up. I don't know if you want to set up here in front.
Yes, sir. We would love to.
Okay. Welcome. Welcome. I'll introduce you. If we could give them a hand. Yeah. Thank you.
How are y'all? Some of those tools have seen better days.
Excuse us, ma'am.
You're really setting this up to be fancy now.
How you doing, man?
Good. I'm trying to stay out of the way.
Hey, you're doing good.
I guess I should just leave this here.
Good to see you, brother. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
You'll get around, but she knows her, you know. But appreciate you both of you.
All right.
Sharp looking people.
All right. Well, everyone, this is the Midway FFA. We welcome you. Thank you all for being here tonight. And you're here to talk to us about all the great things that y'all are doing. And we're going to hear a little presentation. So thank you guys for being here. Can we welcome the Midway FFA?
Just to give you all a little bit of background, this is the Midway FFA Ag Issues team, and within the Ag Issues contest, the students research the pros and cons of a controversial topic in agriculture, and then present that in a creative form. So you will see both the pros and cons of urban sprawl, which is the topic that they have chosen this year. Through the Ag Issues contest, they have to choose a topic that is relevant at both, or through the national level, at a state level, and then tie it in to the local level. And so they've done that in the form of tying it into Magnolia. You'll see that their presentation is set in Magnolia Press. And so they'll take on that in their presentation as well. Their presentation is about 15 minutes, so we're going to go over that 3-minute mark. Is that?
Yes. That's fine.
And afterwards, in their contest, the judges can ask any questions related to the topic or that are jogged, you know, by the topic. So feel free to ask them any questions that you might have. They had their district contest last week. They placed first. They advanced to their area contest, which is this Friday. And hopefully they will place first or second advance onto the state level. At the contest, in addition to judging their presentation and their questions, the judges also judge a portfolio. And part of the portfolio is getting presentations to businesses, organizations, groups in the community that might have a vested interest in the topic. And so we hope that you learned something tonight. Feel free to ask them any questions after the fact. I'm also going to be at the back taking some pictures. I might walk around just so we can add those to our portfolio as well. But we very much appreciate your time. Mr. Soria, it's my understanding that you were a former FFA president.
I was, yes.
Mr. Davidson. Hazel was just presenting where we came from. We presented at our LDD Expo tonight, and Hazel was presenting as we were walking out. I see some familiar faces here, and so we're thrilled to be here, and we very much appreciate y'all's time. With that, you can project your voice.
Yes.
Do we need to just think of
whatever you feel like.
Maybe we should be having them turn towards the camera because we're on the World Wide Web. Just thought I'd mention we're now on YouTube. We've got the camera in the back, so you have multiple directions that you'll be speaking, but you might want to speak a little more to the camera, and you'll be able to pull it up later on YouTube and see what you look like on TV.
At the very least, grab that microphone so that it records what you're saying.
It does. I know she just said project, but it does help from the standpoint of the recording for our YouTube channel.
Can I set it just on if they project enough, if I set it right here, will it?
You know more about how strong that is. Where's Keith here? Or who?
Good.
Okay, we're good. Okay. So yes, just try to project and sometimes look over to the camera. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry. I'll be right with you. I'm in the middle of making like 20 coffees.
Man, so many people have moved to Waco recently. It seems like everywhere I go, I'm always waiting in line.
I'm blaming it on urban sprawl and Magnolia.
Yeah, ever since Fixer Upper made Chip and Joanna Gaines a household name across the country, it's been the downfall of Waco, in my opinion.
I disagree. Magnolia and the Silos have brought so much growth and good to Waco. Plus, I love going downtown to shop the Silos and visit all the Magnolia attractions. I think the lines are worth the wait.
Seriously? Give me a break. What good can actually come from the growth of Waco and urban sprawl? I was personally a much bigger fan of Waco when it was just the good old heart of Texas with that small town feel and surrounded by farmland before Chip and Joanna turned it into a Magnolia theme park.
You'd be surprised. Growth can lead to economic benefits. There have been serious developments in new technologies and urban farming. And people are able to get their food more locally.
Sure, but does that combat the fact that pollution has increased and property taxes have gone through the roof, not to mention the loss of farmland?
Can I get a medium latte?
Yes, sir. And for the whole table? Perfect. That was $23.
That's expensive coffee.
Good afternoon. I'm Eli Johnson, a member of the Waco Midway FFA Ag Issues Team, and a Bro-rista here in downtown Waco at Magnolia Press, Waco's most hip coffee shop. I get to eavesdrop on a lot of juicy Waco gossip. It's just the nature of the job. I'm currently listening in on a table discussing Magnolia's growth and impact on local agriculture and Waco economy. But before we jump into that gossip, a little background for you. Silos have always been an agricultural icon, standing tall in farmland, standing tall in farmland and serving as storage units for farmers' harvests. However, these silos, the common name for Chip and Joanna Gaines' Magnolia Marketplace, have now become somewhat of an urban icon, a destination to nearly 800,000 people just last year in 2023. And according to the City of Waco's website, Waco is the number 2 city in Texas and the number 7 city nationally ranked for job growth. Now, let's listen in on the locals and see what they think about it. Is urban sprawl in Magnolia fixing up Waco, or should we say no to the silos? I have orders for Zoe, Holden, Natalie, and Colby.
I get it. It's hard for some of you guys to see the pros. But let's start off with pro point number 1. The ability of people to access more local food and the overall food miles traveled. The popularity of farmers markets has greatly increased over the past decade, and especially over the past few years. According to the USDA, the prevalence of farmers markets has increased 364%, from 1,755 in 1994 to over 8,000 across the country in 2019. This is beneficial not only for the farmers, who obviously benefit from the profits without middlemen, but also the total food miles products travel decreases. The perfect example of this is right here in Waco. The Waco Downtown Farmers Market, started back in 2011, has grown from only 14 vendors to over 40 each Saturday. Their goal is to bring locally grown and produced goods to downtown Waco in order to help support local farmers and artisans, as well as to enrich the culture of our community. The Waco Downtown Farmers Market report stated that their products traveled an average of only 46 miles from farm to market in 2022. On the other hand, a study done by the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture found that conventional produce traveled an average of nearly 1,500 miles.
But why does that even matter? I don't care, as long as I'm able to purchase produce.
Well, you should. The further your food travels, the more fossil fuels are being used, and the less fresh your produce will be by the time it reaches you. Globally, food miles account for nearly 3 billion tons of carbon emissions annually. Additionally, we can support our farmers directly. The National Farmers Union states that, on average, the farmer only receives 14.3 cents of every food dollar. But if we buy directly from the farmer, that food dollar isn't lost to off-farm costs like marketing, processing, distribution, and retailing.
Honestly, I never really thought about pro point number 1 and the access to more local food that way. The more you know. I'm interested to hear what the naysayers have to say in return. I think we have some good points brewing, if you catch my drift.
But what about con point number 1? Property values and taxes. The overall growth of Waco and Magnolia's revitalization of the area have really increased property values, which has sent property taxes through the roof. In fact, one article I read said that Waco's property taxes are significantly higher than many peer cities in Texas per capita. Waco's property taxes rose from $258 a person to $814 a person in the last 20 years. That's a 316% increase, whereas Carrollton's grew only 106% in the same time period. And even though the property tax rate will remain the same for the 24-25 fiscal year, the city of Waco expects the average single-family home to see an increase of about $150 in property taxes due to the increase in property values. That's just outrageous in my opinion, and many longtime Wacoans are really taking a hit.
That is pretty significant. I didn't realize how much our city's growth and popularity has affected property taxes.
Magnificent point. Con point number 1, higher property taxes is really making me think. But I sure am interested to hear more, espresso-ly, about the benefits.
You also have to think about pro point number 2, the economic and overall benefits of the growth of the city of Waco. Growth generates new jobs and revenue sources and offers citizens more choices and diversity. Just think about it. As a city grows, so do the opportunities. According to the Urban Land Institute, the fastest growing and most populated metropolitan areas score higher on average than their slowest growing and least populated counterparts in most categories. This includes transportation, education, the arts, and recreation. And on top of that, they also score lower on indicators of crime and cost of living. These are all great benefits to growth. Additionally, local farmers and ranchers benefit from the capitalization on agritourism events. And I, for one, will not complain about that. I love all the farm tours, pumpkin patches, and corn mazes that have popped up in our areas in recent years.
Okay, growth can be a good thing. But still, let's not forget what all those people growing Waco produce. Pollution. And that's con point number two. Urbanization might provide more economic benefits and choices, but the concentration of people and their vehicles in an area also produces carbon emissions. Not to mention the traffic. All this pollution is then compounded in runoff when concrete and asphalt can't absorb rainfall like soil can. Oil, grease, pesticides, and other potentially toxic chemicals gathered in runoff can be harmful to fish and wildlife, kill native plants, and of course pollute rivers and streams. Additionally, nitrogen oxides, which are emitted by vehicles, are among the most common pollutants in the world. Not only are they precursors to ozone formation, which reduces crop yields, but these gases can directly harm crop cells. In fact, a Stanford University-led study estimated that reducing nitrogen oxide emissions by about half could increase crop yields from 5 to over 25%, depending on the region and season.
Wow, seems like we have a real traffic jam on our points. On the one hand, you have diversity and opportunity, but on the other, congestion and pollution. This sure is a steaming hot conversation.
We still haven't discussed what I feel personally is one of the greatest benefits. Pro point number three, urban agriculture. With the growth of cities like Waco, has come an increase in urban farming, such as rooftop gardens, green walls, and developments in technologies that improve efficiency and productivity, like hydroponics and aquaponics. Waco Farms is the perfect example of urban farming. Starting in 2016, they used the latest hydroponic technologies to grow leafy greens, microgreens, and herbs, packed full of not only health benefits, but environmental benefits as well. For example, Waco Farms, on average, saves 15 gallons of water per head of lettuce grown. Additionally, their goods last 2 to 3 weeks longer than goods purchased at grocery stores, which translates to less food waste. Now, if you ask me, that's sustainability.
Okay, but there's no way you can actually produce enough food in urban areas to feed our growing population.
Boom, roasted. Just like the coffee beans in the back.
Actually, a study completed by the United Kingdom's Biotechnology and Biological Science Research Council found that urban agriculture can actually produce higher yields than other conventional growing methods, depending on the type of crop produced. And on top of the latest technology in hydro and aquaponics, you've got green walls and rooftop gardening. Green walls indoors can help increase air quality, while outdoor green walls, especially in cities, can counter the urban heat island effect and cool areas around them. And rooftop gardens not only can help produce more food in urban areas, but also help decrease pollution by decreasing those food miles we mentioned earlier.
All right, but let's be real here. You can't grow fruit trees in vertical farms. We need arable land. And on that note, we still haven't addressed the elephant in the room. Con point number three, the loss of arable land. Urbanization and growth undoubtedly happens at the expense of productive land across the country, and especially right here in Central Texas. Remember those property values we talked about earlier? Well, the fact of the matter is that many farmers that lease land in Central Texas have had their land sold out right from underneath them. This is in addition to many family farms selling longtime farmland as well. In both situations, landowners were able to make a pretty penny selling land to what would often become developments in neighborhoods, and that arable land was lost. According to America's Farmland Trust, between 2001 and 2016, nearly 11 million acres of our country's agricultural land was lost or compromised. That's approximately 2,000 acres per day.
Yeah, Holden. Sprawling cities like Waco jeopardize not only our country's food security, but also habitat for wildlife. Every day we destroy wildlife habitat as we fragment their environment and bulldoze grasslands and forested areas alike. Several species have breached the threatened or endangered species list in recent years due to habitat loss.
Look at the time, guys. I've got to get to class. But before I go, I just have to say, I'm pro-growth. Economic benefits are the result of growth. And the fact that local farmers and ranchers can benefit from agritourism is crucial. Let's be real. We need to do as much as we can to support local farmers. Speaking of which, farmers markets decrease food miles and increase the profit margin for farmers.
Don't forget urban agriculture. Hydroponic technology is really revolutionizing the way we grow our crops. And the efficiency is unmatched compared to conventional farming. Not to mention the vertical farms, rooftop gardens, and aquaculture. It's the future.
No way all that makes up for all the increased pollution attributed to all that growth. Pollution and runoff, pollution from vehicles. It not only harms our wildlife and their environment, but it can also affect crop yields as well.
Yeah, count me out. We are losing too much arable land with the growth of our city. Property values and taxes are not only driving out longtime Wakoans, but we are losing arable land as many farmers feel they have no other choice but to sell their land to developers.
This sure is a latte to think about. Honestly, I'm not sure I can espresso my opinion on all of this. What do you think? Urban sprawl, is it fixing up Waco, or should we say no to the silos? Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Great job.
Yes, excellent.
We could get some folks to help them carry this stuff out. Thank you.
Might be seeing some future actors.
I'm curious, how much time did y'all spend in research for this?
We spent probably the past anywhere. A lot of
you take this. You'll take this.
This is my first year, but
I'll trade you.
Imagine.
We put a lot of time and effort.
Great job. So if you guys win the next competition, where do you head to? Where is the national conference?
We go to state, and then if we move on from there, that's what it would be. But state is in December.
So the national conference is in Cincinnati this year? It used to happen in Indianapolis.
I think it's still in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And where's the state competition at?
It's a big one. If you get a chance to go,
it would be at Sam Houston.
Sam Houston.
Bingo.
Well, you guys did a great job.
Yes.
We're really proud of you.
Good luck.
Let's give it up one more time for the FFA.
Good luck at state.
Yes.
Yes.
Get area first.
Hey,
oh, yeah, for sure. I got you.
Thank you all so much for your time. I know that we went well over your 3 minutes on it, but thank you for accommodating us and for allowing us for purpose. Yes, okay. It is a 14.5-minute presentation, so we didn't go over one minute. Thank you so much for that. I would so appreciate it. Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Good. How about you?
Good.
Oh, we're going to get a photo.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you again.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Two twice. Espresso.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So good. So good.
That was really good. Very cool.
All right, Chief, you're up.
Oh, yay. Let's go.
You have 10 minutes.
That's good. That was great. That was great.
Come on.
All right. We're moving on here. Chief, we have a new member of our public safety department to introduce.
Yes, sir. This will not be as entertaining.
That was really cool.
No coffee stand?
Right. No, that was really cool. I really enjoyed that. Right? Ugh, don't put me on the spot. Every new officer, as there's a couple of people here that are newer, every new officer, I like to introduce them to the community. I like them to know who they are representing, where your hard-earned money is going, and who they are relying, or who is relying on them to make the important decisions in those moments. It's always good to put a face with the people who rely on you to make those right decisions, hard decisions, who rely on you in those 2 o'clock in the morning calls, EMS calls. It's a lot of responsibility. And I'm really thankful that Dalton Martin, our new officer, has come to Woodway. Dalton is already police, fire, and EMS certified. We stole him. It's kind of a running theme. We stole him from a neighboring agency. He's got 2 years of experience in police and fire. He came to us a couple of months ago, expressed interest, and doing his background, everybody. His legacy is known for having a big heart, for helping people, for having a servant's heart, and just loving people naturally, which is something you can't train. So that's the kind of person that we like to find. And also, he has a great reputation for enforcing the law the way it should be enforced. So I would like Mr. Officer Martin to just introduce himself and say a few words.
Hello. Dalton Martin. Very excited to start my career here at Woodway. I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you. I don't know.
All right. Well, welcome to the family, Officer Martin. We're so happy to have you. Thank you, Chief, for that warm introduction. Ms. Hernandez is going to come up and give us our quarterly year-end presentation from the Finance Department regarding general fund revenues and expenses, utility fund revenues and expenses, and tourism fund revenues and expenses through September 30th, 2024. Ms. Brenda, hello. Good evening.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Not sure how I follow the FFA presentation, but I'll try to work in some coffee puns.
More puns, more puns.
I was pouring over a few.
She wins.
All right, all serious. Thank you, Mayor and Council, for having me. I'm here tonight to present the quarterly financial report for the 12 months ended September 30th, 2024. So, as usual, we'll go over the major funds, general, utility, tourism. Because it's the year-end report, I worked in some different graphs and pictures, so we'll discuss investments, and then I'll also have capital outlay updates. So with that, the first slide shows the general fund revenue and expenditures. All right, Councilman Keese, I'm a little above you, but right here to the left is fiscal year 23, and to the right is fiscal year 24. Let's see, the darker green are the revenues, and the lighter green is expenditures. So for fiscal year 24, revenue totaled $11.7 million, or 101% of budget, and expenditures totaled $11.4 million, or 93% of budget, which resulted in a $398,981 surplus for the year.
Awesome.
The next slide digs into the revenues. This should not be news to you because I've been presenting on sales tax and property tax, but as mentioned previously, property taxes were 102% of what we budgeted, coming in at $5.42 million, which is a increase from last year's $5.33 million, primarily attributed to the increase in taxable values. Sales tax came in at $4.25 million,
compared to last year's $4.14 million, came in at 99% of what we budgeted, and it increased $114,000. We expect this with the increase of commercial businesses within the city that have taxable items. As previously mentioned, franchise fees did come in less than last year, attributed to the decrease in Atmos franchise taxes related to the decrease in natural gas from calendar year. Other revenue, it does look like there was a significant increase from the visual, which there was a $565,000 decrease. However, this did come in at $1.37 million and 106% of the budget. The decrease is because the Arboretum and the Pavilion is no longer recorded in the general fund. Next slide, our general fund expenditures. General government was consistent from last year. There was a slight increase consistent with the increase in their budget. Additionally, we added an HR manager this year that wasn't present in the prior year. Public safety, budgeted came in at 92%, which is consistent to last year's 93%, $7.1 million in the current year versus 6.6. That increase, this is related to the increase in budget. Community services was consistent. That's Mitch, $1.77 million. In the current year versus 1.72 last year. And then lastly, community programs came in at $679,000, which is 104% of what we have budgeted. Slight decrease, again, related to the Carlene Bright Arboretum. And next we'll move into the piping hot tea of the utility fund. I'm surprised I didn't use that one. I was really waiting on it. Utility fund, on the other hand, had a deficit. Dark green are the revenues. Those came in at $7.3 million or 100% of budgeted items. Expenses, on the other hand, came in at $8.3 million, which resulted in a $955,164 deficit.
Which just came down $300,000, correct? Or $200,000, because we was at $800,000 deficit when we set the budget, correct?
When we set the budget, we were at $800,000 deficit, but now we're at $955,000.
Oh, we went up.
So we went up.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, projected.
I understood it correctly.
Yes, sir. I wrote this one down so I could say it correctly. So on a cash basis, which is what I present to y'all, this does show a deficit. However, because the utility fund operates as an enterprise fund and on a full accrual basis, when the auditors come and present in March, you're not going to see a deficit because they go and capitalize any fixed assets we purchase. They move any of the debt payments, the $1.8 million that we paid in water and sewer bonds, off the income statement to the balance sheet. So after talking to the auditors, talking to the former finance director, we did not recommend any transfers from the general fund to offset this utility fund. We do think that the increase in water rates will combat this for next year where it won't be an issue. And Mitch told me, well, at the time that I presented this presentation, all wells were working well. So there shouldn't be any issues with any wells being down this year, but you never know what acts of God. So that being said, I just wanted to relay that. I did not recommend any transfer. You're not going to see that this year. I know we previously discussed it, but it wasn't one of those that I wanted to present to you. Next, we'll go in for the revenues associated with the water. Water charges came in at $4.67 million, which is a decrease of $500,000 from last year's $5.18 million. Sewer charges were consistent at $2.44 million, and other income was up $281,000 versus last year $110,000. So although water charges were less than we budgeted, we made up for this with other income, and that was our insurance proceeds and interest. So revenues did come in right at 99.72%, rounded up to 100%. Expenses, on the other hand, water services, the expense side of that was $4.37 million, which is an $801,000 increase from last year's $3.57 million. Again, we discussed the nut news to y'all. Sewer services were also up at $1.66 million compared to last year's $1.26 million. This is primarily due to the rising costs of sewer treatment costs for WMRs. And customer service, my department, right at $2.3 million last year and this year. Gotta love it. The utility fund income statement, this is included in your report. I think it's important here to show. This breaks down the customer service department and allocates a portion to water and allocates a portion to sewer. It also takes out the debt payments that are paid out of customer service to the respective charge for service. So the 2016 bond that was issued, that related to water. The refunding 2016 bond, this 2017 bond, and the 2021 bond, they all relate to sewer. So historically, we've made sufficient revenues to cover the losses in sewer to end up with a net profit or net increase in net position. This year, that wasn't the case. Water did end up with a almost $32,000 increase in net position, but the sewer department resulted in a $987,000 decrease in net position for the deficit, as previously mentioned, approximately netting to $955,000. Any questions there before I move on? Okay. Sanitation fund. This is what Frontier Waste Solutions provides for us. Revenues ended the year at $1.7 million, or 94% of budget. Expenditures totaled $1.83 million, which was 101% of budget. So sanitation did end the year, technically, with a $124,000 deficit. However, of their $1.83 million of expenses, $255,000 of that is transferred to the general fund. So without that transfer, it would have ended with a surplus. Mm-hmm. So at the next council meeting, when I bring the year-end surplus recommendations, I'm going to recommend to transfer a portion of those service charges back to make sure this fund ends with a net zero. Tourism, this graph is presented slightly differently. The revenues are grouped together versus the fiscal years. You can see here revenues are slightly up, $39,000 for a total of $891,000 in the current fiscal year compared to last year's $852,000. Expenditures are also up $872,000 and compared to last year's $670,000. The year-end surplus for the hotel motel fund was approximately $19,000. This next few slides relate to investments. This shows you the investment portfolio as of 9/30/24. The one thing to point out is that we invested an additional $500,000 in a CD at First National Bank of Central Texas with anticipation that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to decrease rates. They meet again in December. They've already met twice this year and have decreased rates 0.75 basis points. So I think the last time when I prepared this presentation, the federal rate was at 4.5 to 4.75. So we did renew that CD at 52 weeks at 4.35 to hedge that bet. In the financial performance report provided, I showed you the last 12 months average interest earned, which was 5.34%, but I thought it was important to show you what our portfolio has earned in the post-COVID economy. So a benchmark is the red line, that's the federal funds rate average, and the beige and light green, that's Texpol and Techstar, they stay together and they follow the Fed funds rate. But the ones I wanted to point out were the dark green lines and the black line. So the dark green line, that's our money market account. And you can see from fiscal year 23 to 24, it jumped up. Last year's money market average was 3.02% for the year, compared to this year's average is 5.1%. And that is attributed to switching banks. We went out for a new depository bank this year, and American Bank now holds the city's money. And there was no ceiling. Compared to our previous agreement, had a 3.02% ceiling on interest. So when the Fed rate was over 4%, we were still only earning right about 3%. And then the next one I want to show you was the CD. When I started in 2022, we had $245,000 earning 0.5% at Genco Credit Union. And we pulled that, the investment officers, and we went ahead and invested it at First National Bank of Central Texas. And that's when we renewed that CD last year at we invested $1 million at 5.75. And so now that's at $1.5 million invested at 4.35. So I wanted to show you. I also want to show you the makeup of interest earned. I know this is a question that was been asked in the past of how much interest did we really earn at the city. So for fiscal year 24, we earned
$1,461,550, which is approximately a $197,000 increase from last year.
Sweet.
But the makeup difference is something I wanted to point out. So last year, about half of our money that we earned on interest related to TechStar. That's the bond money, the where the sewer line and the family center bonds were invested. So there's a lot of restrictions on what we could use that money for. And CDs earned 0% last year. I think it was so small, we earned $1,200 in CD interest last year, so it didn't show up. Meanwhile, this year, CDs earned 4%. TechStar decreased to 28%. TechSpool is consistent from 8 to 9%, and then with the majority, over half coming from our money market account at our depository bank. So I just thought that was interesting to see the makeup, and I just wanted to share that one with you. Mm-hmm. Outstanding debt. This shows the bonds we have as of 9/30. The certificate of obligation from 2011 matures this year, and then the one coming up after that is the refunding bond related to the water department in 2016, or refunded from 2016 that matures in 2027. We paid $1.862 million worth of bond payments in August. So I just always like to show y'all what's due in principal. We also do an interest-only payment in February, and then throughout the year, there's agent fees we pay. Just want to show you where we stand debt-wise at year end. All right, fiscal year 24 did have quite a bit of capital outlay projects. Biggest one, I think, with the Family Center opening in March. We also bought 2 water trucks and I think 3 patrol cars and 1 admin vehicle for patrol. I didn't want to show all the pictures, but I threw a few in there. Here is the Arboretum Outdoor bathroom that was installed this summer. Sound about right? Next, we have some tank pictures. I think Mitch went over these in his last quarterly update. Not all the projects we completed are pictured above. We completed various waterline projects, equipment replacement, street resurfacing. So for a complete list of projects, please see page 21 of the report. Next are the in progress projects as of 9:30. Brookwood Drive went to council at the last council meeting, and that's currently in engineering. We have 6 other projects that are in progress. Everything that's going on in the states is actually broken down in 3 here. That anticipation of completion of December 2024 at the end of the month. Pavilion, Arboretum Overflow Parking, if y'all driven by there, they're working. I pictured below is the Whitehall parking lot. I think they striped that last week, so its estimated completion date is at the end of December. Mm-hmm. And then as of 9:30, technically the 6-inch water line was not done, but it is done now. But I went ahead and included that. Next are the to be scheduled and carried forward. As previously mentioned, these are projects that will be in the fiscal year 25 budget. And last, at least I threw a picture in there. This is my finance and customer service team. They help me run payroll, pay the vendors, deal with any HR issues, read the meters, all that. So the numbers that I presented to you today would not be accurate if it wasn't for them. But none of them are here today for me to defer any questions to them. But I'll try to answer questions if y'all have any. I'm trying to think of another pun, and I can't do it.
Brenda, I was just percolating over one thing you said.
Oh.
Could you just, I don't want to take very much time on this.
Sure.
But just very quickly, in a minute, I think I missed what you said about the sewage revenue and the water revenue, how that worked out. You said the revenue for sewage the expense for sewage went down is what I caught, but I wanted to be sure I heard that right.
The expense for sewage went up. There was an increase in cost of what we paid WMARS City of Waco to treat the sewage.
Okay.
So the cost went up, but the revenue associated with it, it was fairly consistent. So here on this income statement, you see $2.4 million last year compared to $2.5 million. But the expenses were almost $3.5 million for sewer.
Okay.
So overall, resulting in a deficit. Does that answer your question, Mayor?
Everything.
What was the What was was it the water revenue that you're expecting to come in higher when you calculate the rates later? Because I'm trying to see, what I'm trying to ask is what the delta was between the sewage cost and the water revenue, if it came out to balance out, or if it's going to put us in a larger deficit for those two items. And I think you said something about it, and I didn't quite catch it. It
sounded like on our next council update, it was going to be better, what you were saying. Is that correct? Or you're expecting it to be better?
I don't think I said that. I do know in my last presentation or when I was presenting the budget, I said we sell the majority of our water in the last quarter of the fiscal year. So maybe next time when I present, meaning now, that the deficit wouldn't be as large.
Right,
but I closed the books as 9:30. Other than audit adjustments, these are our numbers.
So we're almost $1 million short on the water.
Yes, sir.
And we was 800.
850,000. So
yeah.
The delta was bigger.
I think the comment you made was that you're not going to recommend transferring anything out of the general fund because you think the...
Oh, yes, sir. I did say that. Correct.
Sure.
So after talking to the auditors right here, there is a disconnect between the revenues and the expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, here, total debt payments, $1.7 million here and $115, almost $1.8 million, that's going to be taken out of the income statement and it's going to reduce the outstanding bonds on the balance sheet. So
okay. From
a accrual basis, there is not going to be a deficit.
Okay.
It'll look like the fund made money.
But
on a cash basis, it did not. And I talked to the auditors, and we're on the same page. And I told them when they come in March to make sure they explain that. Because my fear was that I'd tell y'all to transfer money, and then the auditors come in March and say, actually, no, they made $3 million. Estimate, disclaimer, I forget where I'm being recorded now.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure. That's what
yes,
sir.
Sure. Does that answer your question?
That I missed. Yes. Yes, it did.
Perfect. Anybody else?
Well, I know that. Go ahead. Do you have some more?
Get a water.
Do you have some more? Go ahead. I'm going to brag on you.
Any outstanding revenues that are coming in, still are coming in, is that what you're saying? Because, like I said, on the accrual basis, when you look at accrual based accounting, we're looking at the idea that money that is owed to the city, we haven't collected upon it yet, correct? So are we still waiting on revenues that are coming in, or you know, it takes a little bit of time for it to true up and catch up?
Sure, so sales tax, for example, is paid in arrears. So we'll collect, it's 2 months behind. So the November, as of now, we're caught up on sales tax, and I adjusted back for that. But as for an audit adjustment, we look at what did we bill at the end of September, and that's considered an accrual. But for what I'm presenting to y'all, I've always left those accruals out and just presented, hey, at a cash basis, this is where we ended up.
Okay. Does that include encumbrances? I mean, for expenditures as well? Or have you?
Yes. From an accounts payable standpoint, if I got a bill in the end of October for services rendered in August, yes, we backdated that for an accounts payable journal entry. But any encumbrances, so budgeted stuff set aside that we haven't received yet, that'll be set aside at the financial report level as assigned or designated fund balance. But yes, I have all those numbers calculated. They're just not necessarily included in here.
I understand it. Okay. Yeah.
Is that everything? Yeah. I was just, of course, on the water, you know, it's awful that we're almost $1 million short, but there's nothing we can do about it right now. We'll have to look at it through the different quarters, and it is what it is. But I want to brag on you about something. We could see through your report, in 2021, we had practically no income coming from the dollars we had in reserve. Now we're looking at $1.4 million. That is an incredible turnaround. And, you know, when we have a $12, $14 million budget, you know, and suddenly we're able to get 10% of that just off the money we already have, that's fabulous. And I just wanted to appreciate, you know, thank you for being able to get on top of that. Like you said, you have to be careful on interest rates because a lot of that we're dealing with is in money markets. As interest rates come down, those money markets are daily, we're not locked in.
Sure.
So
you know, who knows, markets, interest rates, stock markets, everything is fluid. We have to project 6 months out. I'm thinking that we're going to see more lowering of the rates because of the gas increase that will lower inflation. So as you can, it might be a good idea to add where you can on the CDs. I just locked in today 4.5, and I'm probably going to be putting some more money into it because I'm believing that 3 months from now you're going to be looking at 3.2s or 2.8s or whatever. And, you know, you just want to lock in what you can. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with laddering the money, putting in small amounts at different times as you need it, so that way you're not all in one place. But I just want to brag on you. $1.4 million is fabulous.
Well, thank you, Councilman Russell. I mean, I can't take any credit. It's the Federal Reserve that was meant to hey, let's go.
it does matter because, I agree with David, it does matter in the mindset of how we would invest.
Sure.
And I think that there's something going on currently that maybe didn't happen in the past. Maybe it's just because maybe a little bit of fear or have you. I don't know. But, you know, you have to invest something to make something.
Yes.
So it does appear to be that we had a change, and this is prior to me getting here.
But that's huge.
A change in the idea of how we're going to invest.
Sure.
And I agree. If you ladder it, you know, stair-step it, and we can put it in something that's a little bit more mobile, then that investment, instead of putting it in something that we have to leave it there for 2 years, 3 years, and the interest rates came down and just stuck.
Yes, sir.
Now if we can ladder it a little bit, then we might have a little bit better chance to make that money a little bit more mobile for us, if you will.
Most banks are giving the higher interest on the shorter terms because they know that it's going to be going. You know, used to, you get 5 years, you get the largest amount. No, now they're talking about 6 months or 9 months or a year. But yeah, at 2021, also, we were doing a lot of sweep accounts at that time.
Sure.
And now we're turning our dollars.
Yes, sir. And as if y'all remember the last council meeting that I attended, that's when I opened that Logic account to invest more funds over there because it performed historically better than Texbull and Techstar. And Adam and I are the investment officers, and that involves taking annual training and meeting with the banker and our investment consultant. So, yeah, we're monitoring the Federal Reserve as they continue to meet.
That chart, I know we're going to be talking about social media soon, but that chart there, I'd like for the citizens to see that and understand what you've done to make more money for the city just on the dollars we have already.
Sure, I could put this on the website.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing.
I know you have plenty of other items,
Brenda,
on the agenda.
Thank you so much. Great job. Really appreciate
it.
Thank you.
All right, let me get to Donna's point. Oh, okay. Thank
give,
you.
Give our thanks to your team also, please.
Yeah, they're good people.
Item number seven, Council, is moving into our items for individual discussion. Item number seven is discussion, consider action on Resolution R-2423, casting votes to elect directors for the McLennan Central Appraisal District for the year 2025. May I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. ACM, your comments on number seven, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. As you know, this is something that we do every year. The City of Woodway may cast a total of 60 votes, and those votes may be cast for one person or split between any number of individuals. Please see the attached official ballot that you have in your packet.
I believe we had nominated Dwayne Moss from our council.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ballot here. Looks like we have a couple of Woodway residents on here, so maybe we should throw some votes to the Woodway residents that I see on here.
I believe Mr. Green's up for re-election on his school board. Of course, you don't have to be a school board member, but Dwayne Moss has 50 years banking experience, and he's been on the appraisal district board for helping citizens for, I don't know, something like 10 years. So he is extremely experienced, and I'd like to recommend all of our votes being we nominated him, because Jonathan will be getting votes from the school board, mm-hmm. you know, already. And probably they've got so many more votes that it's going to carry, you know. But it still would be nice to represent what we nominated the most.
Do we know if Jonathan and Dwayne are the only two Woodway citizens? Are there?
Yeah, does anybody recognize any other names? We got George Chase, Jonathan Green, John Kennard, Moss Patton, Ben Perry, Mildred Watkins. I don't know if Ben Perry is or not. I don't, something tells me he's not. Not sure.
No.
Do you know, Janelle? No.
Now, for no. some reason, I'm thinking Mr. Patton. Is he a Hewitt city council?
I don't know.
For some reason, it seemed like I remember that a Patton as, but yeah. I'm totally wrong. I'm just, you know, on the fringes there.
Yeah.
Well, I like the idea of spreading it between our Woodway citizens, whether that's two or three, mm-hmm. but I'm unsure of Ben Perry, but.
Yeah, I don't know if Ben is or not.
We'd be diluting our vote.
For sure. Jonathan Green and Dwayne Moss are. So. Yeah, Green is a CPA with lots of good financial experience, so I don't have a problem with his experience. Any other discussion from council? Any thoughts?
Well, we've supported Dwayne Moss in the past for this very position. I think, at least in my opinion, he'd be a good candidate, and I'd be in favor of allocating our votes to him.
Also, Dwayne Moss has helped us with the budget issues every single year.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, we've got 60 votes, so.
I would put all of them on Dwayne Moss.
Okay.
Well, I've shared my opinion.
Okay, great. Well, I'll make the motion then. We have 60, so I would like to move that we award 30 votes to Dwayne Moss and 30 votes to Jonathan Green, being residents of Woodway.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay.
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 All right, the ayes have it, and the motion carries with two nays from Mr. Russell and Mr. Keeston. Thank you, Council. All right, item number 8 is discussion and consider action on purchase of a 2024 John Deere 320P backhoe from RDO Equipment Company through Sourcewell Cooperative Contracts in an amount not to exceed $145,200, approving the sale of replaced unit and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second. It's
moved and seconded. Thank you. ACM number 8, please.
Yes, as you know, a recent quote was obtained through Sourcewell Cooperative Contracts for the acquisition of the 2024 John Deere backhoe. This backhoe is designated for the Straits Department, and it will replace an existing unit that has reached the end of its operational life.
All right. And this is a budgeted item, $145,000. So,
What was that number?
$145,200. Is that what you're talking about?
We budgeted.
What did we budget?
$145,000. So it's $200. $200 over.
I looked this item up because, you know, in the past you'd know a little bit about some of these items, and I thought, man, that sounds high. Sound like double the amount. Well, inflation hit that item just like it's hit every grocery item. I found used ones for this price. I found new ones that was like 20% more. So this is a good deal, and you know, just inflation.
Anything else for us on this one, ACM?
That's all I have.
All right. Well, Council, I'll entertain a motion on the purchase of this.
I'll make I'll make a motion to authorize an expenditure in the amount of $145,200 to RDO Equipment Company for the purchase of a 2024 John Deere 320P backhoe for the Community Services and Development Department, street and sale of replaced unit.
I'll second that.
One second. I did want to ask. We are also approving the sale of a unit that's going to be replaced. Those funds are going into. Are they going to go toward the purchase of this item? ACM, do you know? Brenda, do you know?
It's not going towards the purchase, but any proceeds will go back into the equipment replacement fund.
Okay, good. So that money will be
correct.
Replenished.
That money's invested in that money.
But we don't know how much that's going to be yet until we sell it.
Correct. I don't know.
All right.
I get the receipts from mentioned.
I just wanted council to know that we are actually also, with this motion, approving the sale of the old unit, of the old John Deere. All right, council, it's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the motion passes unanimously. Thank you, council. Item number 9 is discussion and consider action entering into an agreement with Seed House Creative LLC in an amount not to exceed $45,250 for social media and newsletter management and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith. Council may have a motion to discuss this item.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. ACM, Seed House, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This, of course, is a follow-up from the last meeting. Seed House Creative has submitted another proposal for social media management and the creation and distribution of a bi-monthly digital newsletter. Seed House Creative will partner with city staff to plan out and create content for all city social media accounts in addition to this bi-monthly newsletter. In the backup documents, you will see the total financial impact with allocations to the respective departments and budget accounts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you'll also see, of course, the entire agreement. And Kathy Davis from Seed House Creative is here if anyone has any questions.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I think, just to clarify, ACM, on our info sheet, the financial impact, you can see that it's not all coming from one fund, but it's actually coming out of different departments.
Correct.
To make up the proposed expenditure.
Yes.
I'm excited to see the new way we get information out. I think this is going to be great for our residents. And the fact that it's in a digital format too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Which we're going to be emailing also. Everyone's email address. Is that correct?
But they'll have the option to opt out if they really have to have a paper one.
Yeah.
You know, they can.
You can still have that option.
They can still have the option.
How soon do you think that we'll start emailing out the new newsletters?
Our goal is to start with the January newsletter.
Sweet.
So Seed House would have to create a template in the next few weeks and put the content together with city staff. And then my goal is to have that out January 1st or 2nd.
Sweet.
And ACM, is there going to be some kind of notification to residents that we are changing our method of delivery for newsletters?
Yes, sir. So we are in talks with Seed House. We will, of course, put it out on social media, but more importantly, we would like to send out a postcard to all residents so that way they know that this is coming. It's in January. It would have the option on there. I think we talked about maybe a QR code as well for more information, and that would reach all residents that way. We'll have some information on the website as well.
We would have a savings from the mailing standpoint.
That's what that item is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what that, the last account number will come from the traditional newsletter. That's where those funds are coming from.
Yeah, here we go.
Great. Council, any other questions? We've got Ms. Davis here who
got a lot of work to do in 6 weeks.
Is
work through Christmas.
Our connection with Seed House and also a Woodway native. So it's great.
Looks great.
All right. If nobody has any questions, I'm happy to entertain a motion on this item, please.
I move that we authorize the city manager to enter into an agreement with Seed House Creative in an amount not to exceed $45,250 for social media and newsletter management services and authorize the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith.
I second.
So moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Wonderful. All right, Seat House. Happy to have you on board. Welcome. Yeah. Can't wait to see it.
That is not a brew house.
Not a brew house. Seed house.
Not a brew house. Not a brew house. What are you thinking?
The coffee.
The coffee.
The coffee.
Yeah.
The coffee.
Brew house can mean two.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Okay.
It can mean two. Nice try, Mayor Pro Tem. Nice try. I liked it. I knew where you were going.
I liked it.
I didn't go straight to it.
All right.
Okay. ACM, do you want to do your report now, or you want to wait till meeting number two?
I'm actually going to delay to the second meeting.
Perfect.
All right. Council members, do you want to do your report now or wait for the second meeting to give your reports?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, we can just go to the second meeting, and if anything comes up between now and then, we can bring it back up. Excellent. Okay. Well, Council, I will entertain a motion to adjourn the first meeting, please.
So moved.
Second.
All right. We have a motion to adjourn. I am adjourning this meeting at 6:46 p.m. I'm just going to roll right through if everybody's okay with that.
Perfect.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the second meeting tonight. This is meeting number two. I am opening the meeting at 6:47 p.m. Item number one is public comment. The City Council invites citizens to address the Council on any matter, including items on the agenda, except public hearings that are included on the agenda. Comments that are related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R8711. The Council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, we ask that you please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state the item before beginning your comments. The timer for your comments is located on the screen behind us. Okay, I'd like to invite anybody who'd like to address Council, please come to the podium. All right. There being none, we will move on. Thank you. Item number two is discussion and consider action on the minutes of the regular City Council meeting held October 28, 2024 at 5:30 p.m. This is not on the consent agenda, so I'm going to ask for a motion to discuss, please.
Make a motion to discuss.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. ACM?
I don't have any comment.
Okay. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. No?
Easy.
All right, well, I move that we approve the minutes of the regular City Council meeting held October 28, 2024 at 5:30 p.m.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the minutes are approved unanimously. Item number three is discussion and consider action on resolution R2424, setting the 2025 City Council meeting schedule. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. Oh, I've got to get to my second meeting. ACM, go ahead. I've got to pull up the second second agenda here.
Yeah, Ken, second.
Yes. Go ahead, ACM.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. The Council's regular meeting schedule, second and fourth Mondays, are reviewed annually to determine conflicts with holidays, spring break, etc. In addition, the Council typically cancels the second meeting in June and July as allowed by the Charter. The following schedule that you'll see in your backup documents is presented for Council's consideration.
Thank you, ACM. Council, in your packet, you've got all the dates for our Council meetings, and that's all there for you to look at. You can see the double headers that we have throughout the year. And one thing I want to point out that was brought to my attention is that we moved the double headers to be the first one at 5:30 and the second one at 5:45, so that we don't have to wait for a long time for the second meeting if we get done.
Yeah.
You know, if we get done at 5, you know, 38.
Sounds good.
By some miracle, if we get done that fast. So that's why we have moved it back to the 530-545. That's what it used to be last year.
I do believe the March 10th is Midway and Baylor spring break. I don't know if that is.
Yes, it is.
Makes a difference, but.
Well.
I can already tell you I will not.
Ms. Barkley, what or Mr. Shaw, what will it take to change the March dates?
I mean, we don't.
To like a separate Monday, to another Monday in March.
You can just amend the schedule.
If it's impossible to do, then it's no problem. We'll keep it, but.
I mean, it's just going to make a back-to-back.
Yeah.
You know,
Oh, we've done that before, yeah. And it's okay.
Yeah. Now, the 17th is St. Patrick's Day. Exactly. I don't know if that's...
Well, you want to raise those, and we can bring those back in December and approve it in December?
Yeah. Yeah, that'll give you more time, maybe, Donna, to...
So it's just the 10th that is the concern?
March 10th is, again, Baylor and Midway, and my guess is other surrounding schools.
Very good catch. Very good catch.
But we'd still have a quorum. Mm-hmm. I mean, people miss the time.
But maybe MCC. Maybe residents will be gone.
Hmm?
Maybe if residents are gone that time too, you know, because of spring break. So.
But the wonderful thing is we've got it now on video so people can see.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
that's right.
I mean, there's a lot of good things.
If possible. If not, that's okay. We can keep it as is. But we can look at it again in December.
I think Baylor is different.
What is MCC's?
I can't remember the exact date, but I think Baylor and MCC is different. And my wife already told me, we're going on spring break.
Congratulations.
Last year we didn't do anything, and kept messing around with the dates and ended up not doing anything. But.
Well, maybe we can have those as light meeting dates. It looks like we're going to have not many people here and not decide anything really big.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Councilwoman, do you want to move to revisit this at the December meeting?
Yes,
sure.
Or?
Yes, I move that we, can I say table this item until December?
A second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. We'll talk about this again in December. Thank you, Council. Item number four is discussion and consider action on awarding Lawns Limited a contract to mow the Highway 84 corridor in an amount not to exceed $45,120 and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith. Council, if I could get a motion to discuss this item.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. ACM, number four, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Since October of 2020, staff has requested bids for mowing the Highway 84 corridor, with Lawns LTD being awarded the contract for the previous two agreements. The latest agreement for 22-24 ended in October 2024. Staff went out for a bid for the 24-26 agreement, which called for mowing the center median and all access roads. This is something that we've just been doing for the last couple of years. Also important to note that the city will receive an annual reimbursement for mowing and litter pickup from TxDOT, not to exceed the amount of $8,114 that will be applied to this proposed expenditure as well.
Anybody know how many people they put on this job?
Mitch?
Hmm?
Jack.
Jack is here to speak on this item if anybody has questions.
I'm going to be a little dry, so I'm going to get roasted for going off script. But
that one's already been used.
I know, but I'm going to give just a little quick plug here. If you haven't seen the Arboretum planning for fall and winter, we've got that completed. And with Mitch and Jennifer and Adam and Rodney and John, we redid the irrigation, the plantings. They all three corners now tie in together. We removed the white stone around there that would fall and was dangerous for walkers, and it even ties in with the white up around Walgreens and HEB. So I'm going to get back on topic, but go by and see that if you haven't seen it. As far as the mowing, Jennifer, 2 years ago we started mowing this. We started mowing from March to November. Well, if you remember 2 years ago, which I do vividly, we were mowing the bluebonnets and all of the flowers before they went to seed. Phone calls started going. Lawns Limited people were being verbally abused while they were mowing on the highway, and ugly emails were left, voicemails on Lawns Limited phone. So I got with Sid, the owner, and we talked about it, and he said, well, we went on TxDOT, and he got the recommended TxDOT, wait till May, let the flowers go to seed. And so we started mowing around them last year. This year, we just pushed all the mowing to May. We let the flowers go to seed. We had to double mow it, and that's why you might see in your packet, I don't know what you're seeing, but in May you have to double mow it, kind of cut it down and then come back and finish mow it. And we did not get one phone call at the city. Sid didn't get one phone call at his office, and none of his workers were abused on the highway. So we found a solution. Do not mow in March and April. Double mow it in May and add a back one in November, which it needs right now. That's why we need this, so we can get it cleaned up. So, and like Jennifer said, it's $45,120 minus the reimbursement from TxDOT, and Goodwill does pick up trash on the highway weekly, and they reimburse us for some of that too. It comes to $3,083 a month to have a beautiful highway year round. And I'm going to close with this. I drive to McGregor all the time. My mother-in-law lives there. I go to Waco all the time just because we all do. And the worst thing about being a city that's butted up to McGregor and Waco, and I love those cities, is that the grass is always greener on the other side because we have a beautiful highway. So I would recommend just that we continue doing what we're doing for $3,000 a month. We don't use any of our equipment, and it's a finished mow. It's not a shred, and we've addressed the flowers and the trash. And so anyway, anybody got a question?
How many people do they put on that job?
Usually it varies. They'll come out and mow, usually 1, 2, 3, 4. They have about 5 or 6 mowers going at one time, the zero turns, and they'll start up on 6. They'll come down one side and sweep it. And in this new proposal, which, Sid didn't add any cost, I'm not going to use names. The old administration just picked a line and said, stop right here when you get here. Well, if you drive that and see the line, it's like, why did they pick this? So they're going to go ahead and finish it all the way past Old Dominion down to where it comes off the exit to a finished point, so it looks nice. Mm-hmm. And there's some homeowners over there that have called, so we've made them happy, and they're going to add that in, so it continue to look nice.
So you said it's 5 people or 6 people?
Yeah, it varies sometimes on this cruise. Yeah.
It's $2,800 a day mowing the way this breaks out. It says 2 days.
It's 2 days to mow it. Yeah.
And, but it still comes in less than what we budgeted. Mm-hmm. It still comes in less.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, I was just saying basically they're figuring about $500 a man.
And they mow, they'll start sometimes on Friday, and it says 2 days. Sometimes they'll go 2.5, it might be 2.5 because of weather, rain. They have to, slow down a little bit. But once they get the grass under control, it's 2 days and they're done. Early mows might take them 2.5.
I always like to understand how they come about their numbers and to see what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, it's to me, I've watched them do it. I've been out there, I drive it and watch them and picking up the trash and weed eating and mowing. And it's a pretty good bang for the buck, knowing what mowers charge and what the other couple of bids came in at. And most people couldn't bid because we want it finished mowed. If you shred it, that's what TxDOT does. It looks like you're over there going in Spiegelville after about a week. It's terrible. And
so how many bids did we get?
I sent it out to about 5. I got this one in. I got another one in that was about $15,000 higher. I got another one that refused to bid because he said he didn't have the finishing mowers that could do it. He only had shredders. And then 2 just wouldn't respond. Okay. So. Any question?
No.
Didn't mean to go over 3 minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
You did fine.
Okay.
You did fine.
It's okay. I'm just happy that Lawns Limited, with that double mowing, doesn't have to go through the grinder.
Yeah.
Grinder.
A little slow.
It's getting late. It's getting late. Okay. All right. Moving on. Moving on. Moving on. Jack didn't get that joke. Yeah, we'll talk later.
That's what I was going to say.
All right. Very good. Well, I will entertain a motion then.
I'll make a motion to award Lawns Limited Inc. a contract to mow the Highway 84 corridor in an amount not to exceed $45,120 and authorize the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith.
And I'll second that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Keystone, Mr. Russell. It's been moved and seconded. I will now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. All right. The ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously, and we will award the contract to Lawns Limited for $45,120. Thank you, Council. All right. We're rocking and rolling here.
This is a lot faster.
Item number five is the city manager's report. So ACM, over to you.
Thank you. The first update I have is going to be on the Estates Drive shared path. Of course, we have flyers at the desk up front if anybody would like to grab one. This is the update that was on social media last Wednesday, but just wanted to share that in case anybody does not see that on Facebook or Nextdoor. This update that I have today is from our Community Services Department, and this is as of this afternoon. So over the last few weeks, the contractors striped the new lane configuration to spec, with work continuing on lane markings and curbing. Since the work has started, motorists are adjusting to the new traffic pattern with guidance of our public safety officers, and cyclists and pedestrians are already using the new lane. Once the barricade has been installed, it will better demarcate the separation between the shared path and the traffic lanes. Staff are monitoring citizen concerns to be addressed before project completion, and the city anticipates finishing this project in 3 weeks with closeout occurring before Christmas, of course, weather permitting. The next item I have for y'all is the Veterans Breakfast. The Discover Woodway and City of Woodway staff hosted another wonderful Veterans Breakfast on Thursday, November 7th. It's a beautiful and emotional morning of gratitude, honoring all who have served our country. If you have not been in the past, I do invite you to come next year. The date's always reserved for the Thursday before Veterans Day, if you want to mark your calendar. The next update is on our senior programming survey. The Woodway Family Center staff created a survey for their current and future senior programming. This survey opened on November 4th, closed on November 18th, allowing for 2 weeks of responses. They collected 94 responses in that time period. And since it just closed today, staff is going over the results. The survey link was advertised on the city's website, as well as the Family Center's senior page on Facebook and the City of Woodway's page on Facebook. It was also on Nextdoor, I believe. Furthermore, the link was sent out via email using Constant Contact to citizens who have signed up for communications through Discover Woodway so that staff could reach a broader audience, not just through the Constant Contact of the Family Center. The Discover Woodway staff will launch a survey in early January pertaining to all of the city events that we host throughout the year, too. And staff has gained wonderful insight by providing these surveys throughout the fall to help us for moving forward. And that is all I've got.
Great. Jennifer, you do a good job.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah. Very smooth.
Right, really place Adam. Don't tell him we said that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, don't tell Adam.
Hey, can I ask you something real quick? The manhole covers, this may be a Mitch question, so maybe Mitch is listening. On the states, are we replacing those, or is that the contractor who's replacing those?
The city crews will be raising those up, and then they'll basically pour a new square around the manholes when they do that.
So okay, so that's city.
Yeah, I mean, I know our crews have gone out and cut the squares, but they've scheduled that work, should start this week.
Okay.
To raise the manholes up and leveled up with the road.
Great. Did you see any potholes? Are there any potholes on the states right now? Because all that was smoothed over.
No, the new overlay did that, but I think a lot of people see
the manhole.
The manholes, they call it a pothole. Yeah. And so that's predominantly what it is.
Okay.
Some water valves and manholes that need to be adjusted.
Did we pay the guy that's doing the turn, you know, the white turn part per turn thing? Because he seemed like a ton of them.
Yeah, the engineer basically puts one at every intersection down the
street. And it's a little more than that.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
It looks like if you tried to turn, and some of the ways you'd be turning into a creek or whatever. I mean, it's something we'll probably have to look at it sometime, because there's a little too much of those turn signals on there. Turn.
Well,
I think he's following TxDOT standard, if I had to guess, and that's why.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
you got to give him some warning that it's coming up too.
So. That's fine, but he put both direction, each place, and it just looks a little odd whenever you drive it.
Mr. Davidson,
yes,
sir. What's the timeline on those potholes? Well, not potholes, manhole covers. I'm
they
sorry.
Should start this week, and they should probably get it done within 2 weeks.
Oh, great!
So it shouldn't take them that long to do that work.
Super.
And the posts,
and the curb are supposed to get started in the next 2 to 3. I mean, they're supposed to be done in 3 weeks, and I think the stripers said he was hoping to be done this week. The rain's going to slow him down a little bit from today and probably tomorrow, but. That was the schedule we got Friday, and contractually, I think they have 16 working days left, and they're shooting to get that done. They don't want to go in.
Yeah, we saw Brenda's update where it says December for completion.
That's still the goal. That's still what they're saying, and that's what we're holding them to.
Yep. Yes. Bike lanes are not finished yet. They're getting there.
No, that's right. The big thing that will separate it is when y'all saw the display when they came. Is the curb with the with the delineators, and that will really show where the lanes separate.
And we have all of that stuff ready to go.
That's sitting over there in the empty parking lot. You can see there's a pile of boxes.
Oh yeah.
Right over here. Yeah.
Close them.
Okay.
So they just have to come.
I thought those were just Amazon.
They're come in.
it's just plastic curb.
Yeah, I think they're waterproof. But the boxes won't.
No.
I think so well.
And that's still in the December timeline, right?
Yes, all should be done in December.
Awesome. Thank you. Ms. Rogers, thank you. Great job. Great having you here with us this evening. Thank you for stepping in for Adam on his well-deserved vacation. And Adam, if you're listening, we miss you. And bring us back something from your trip. All right. Watch him. Now he's going to bring us all something back. You'll see. No pressure, Adam. No pressure. Item number 6 is City Council reports. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share from their liaison assignments?
Did you guys go to PNC?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand it was just about Tanglewood and then
that's
opening
it.
Up 150.
Conditional.
Conditional approval.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only thing that went on.
Mm-hmm.
PNC.
Awesome. Thank you, Councilwoman. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. Maybe tell everybody happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I was actually just about to say that.
Well,
nothing on youth.
You
nothing on youth commission. Parks. Nothing on parks. Mm-hmm. All good. Wonderful. Okay. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Have a great Thanksgiving. Remember, every day is Thanksgiving.
Yep.
But we're gonna celebrate big next week. So, thank you all very much. Wonderful meeting. With that, I will consider a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
All right. Thank you. We are adjourned at 7:08 p.m. Thank you all very much.
Made it so easy.
Hey, Mitch.
I know you did.
I have a question for you.